edge of your seat. But you know that life is better. It's always better on the upbeat.
Welcome to On the Upbeat. I am your host, Matt Vest, and I'm excited to talk about ska. And with me, of course, is Adam. Adam, how's it going?
I'm doing well. I am Adam the Ska Mailman, and I do four things, and that's deliver all things ska to you, deliver mail, drink Mountain Dew, and steal RJ's bit. Today's Mountain Dew I had was the Mountain Dew Baja Blast Point Break Punch. It is fantastic, but that's not important. What's important is that we have Tim Snow from Ningguid Records here with us. How's it going, Tim?
It's going good. I would say I thought you were RJ. Sorry. Apologies.
Yeah.
I guess the hair should have been my sign that you weren't him.
It's bound to happen now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get him confused all the time.
I just steal RJ's bits, so that does not help with making me separate identifier from him.
Great. So this is your fault. Great. I'm glad that we're all aligned.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we just want to help the listeners through the transition of RJ not being here anymore. By the way, RIP RJ. You know, just I think Adam stealing RJ's bits, I think it helps people, you know, talk about Mandy.
It helps with the grieving process.
Yes, exactly. Everyone is on the same page and ready to go. Okay, so before we can get into anything ska or anything too deep in the ska, we're going to have to go ska silly. And I need to know, what is the most ska cereal? Think kids' breakfast cereal. What is the most ska breakfast cereal? Now, these don't have to be your choices. You can think of something different than what I thought. But just to give us some frame of reference of what I'm looking for, here I'm just going to list off some cereals. Fruit Loops, Pops, Apple Jacks, Lucky Charms, Frosted Flakes, Trix, Cookie Crisp, Captain Crunch. Can anyone think of any cereal that really stands out as ska? I was first thinking Lucky Charms because, I don't know, just the way, you know, that hat. Is it a bowl hat that he wears? What kind of hat does the Lucky Charm guy?
I don't know. It's like a mix between a bowl hat and a top hat, but it's got like the dip in the middle.
Yeah.
But it's not quite a pork pie.
No, it's
so
definitely not.
I don't know how ska that is. My first thoughts is that Trix is the ska cereal because we're all kids at heart and Trix is for kids. So
Yeah. And then I thought it can't be Captain Crunch because all cops are bastards, right? So that has to be out. But then I thought Cookie.
That includes Captain Crunch.
Well, I mean, I don't know what he's captain of.
I mean, when you look into Captain Crunch's war crimes, it totally fits.
His crimes against
exactly
the other
right.
Serial godfathers.
You didn't watch the NCIS episode about Captain Crunch? Come on.
It's like, what exactly are you a captain of? And it's not even captain, it's cap'n.
You can't handle the crunch.
And then I thought Cookie Crisp. Does anyone remember back in the day when the Cookie Crisp mascot, I guess there was kind of two of them. It was like a cop and like a burglar. Now it's a wolf. But back in the day in like the 80s and stuff, it was this like burglar who was that classic like black and white striped shirt and like a black mask over his eyes and was trying to get your Cookie Crisp. And a cop would always come in. So
the Cookie Crisp mascot was like very two-tone then.
Yeah, a little bit. But then was the mascot the cop or the thief?
I assumed it was a dual mascot thing, you know. But again, I think you and I are the only people that remember this. But my cereal pick is going to be Mr. T cereal.
Ooh.
Oh,
wow. But wasn't Mr. T cereal just pretty much Captain Crunch? Like,
well, it was shaped as a T.
Yes, it very much was.
It was shaped as a T, and technically, if we're going to go that way, then you know all corn-based cereals are Captain Crunch, right? Your Kixes, your Mr. T's.
Yeah.
So it's just the corn-based genre.
Yeah.
But Mr. T hands down. There's no debate, no argument.
Yeah,
that
I
is
can,
the ska
I
cereal.
I can get behind that. I can get behind that. Mr. T is pretty sweet.
Isn't there, and I don't think they're a ska band, but isn't there a band called Mr. T Experience?
Yeah, they're a punk band, pop
yeah,
punk band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's ska adjacent. That's close enough, right? Yeah. And so we pity the fool that doesn't eat Mr. T's cereal, which I don't, they're not making anymore.
No. So I would definitely pity the fool
who's that eating
would eat a 35-year-old box of cereal.
I don't know. Sometimes you only live once, right? That's just what I'm saying. You gotta
definitely, if you eat a 35-year-old box of Mr. T's cereal,
you're only gonna live a few minutes.
I mean, that's also one way to get internet famous. We should all purchase a box of Mr. T cereal, eat it all at the same time, and see like what clicks start coming in.
Yeah, just I don't. It would be scary, weird if it doesn't make you at least sick, right? Even if it's been kept in its box, in the bag sealed, in the most kind of air, I don't know, like the freshest place it could have been kept, but 30 years later. Should it still be edible? Like, what is in that box if it's still edible?
I still just have the idea that you're going to take a bite of it and then you turn into Mr. T and you're like, don't talk about anyone's mama.
Well, it's, I mean, theoretically, the two main ingredients are going to be corn and sugar.
And sugar.
So I would assume that the sugar would probably keep it preserved.
Yeah.
Years and years and years ago, I worked at Six Flags and I started at the start of the season, or not the start of the season, sorry, it started a few weeks after the start of the season, and it was in this restaurant. I noticed that there was a pie in there, and the entire summer that I worked there, I assumed that this was a fake pie, and they took it at the end of the season, they threw it out, and then at the start of the next season, I was at the same restaurant, and then I realized that it was just an actual pie that they were selling, they put in the display case, and it actually lasted the entire season preserved because there was so much sugar and preservatives in it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. All right. So we have decided the Mr. T cereal is the most ska. So if you want to let us know online what you thought, is there a cereal we're forgetting, someone we didn't mention? And what's ska about your favorite cereal? Okay, all right, let's get into some ska news. Here we go.
Rude girls and rude boys too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I saw you might have heard, but again, you're about to miss me in ska news.
All right, ska news, of course, where we tell you about the latest releases and cool things happening around the ska scene. All right, first up, on March 22nd, Matamoska released a new song called Ska Show. Along with this new song, they announced that they would be releasing a new self-titled album on May 17th, and it's on Bad Time Records, so you should be able to go to Bad Time Records right now and pre-order that on vinyl. And like I said, they dropped a new single called Ska Show, and we're going to listen to a clip of that right now.
Love this song. Here's what I noticed most, first listen to this song was, you know, we had a conversation last week about length of song with Flying Raccoon Soup, and there is a lot of debate, you know, but with length of song and how long should a song be and all that stuff. Now, I believe this ska show song was like about 4 minutes. Obviously, we didn't just play 4 minutes of a song, but I think the whole thing is about 4 minutes. But it also highlights what you can do with a longer song and a longer song that sort of has like very similar parts, but like, okay, and this part, it highlights the horn section. This part, it's like a highlighting the bass and then the guitar and then maybe the keyboards. Like, you can do a lot with it sounds insulting to say simple, but like a simple rhythm, beat, sound, set of chords. You can do a lot and just keep up the energy and keep it up by changing, just the instrumentation or sometimes even the pace. So I don't know. I think it was a good highlight of that discussion. That's what I thought of the song.
Totally. And with a band like Matamoska, where every single member is so talented, you do want to give everyone their moment to shine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that's why they picked it as a lead single. All right. So, and I did enjoy the song just on a pure entertainment level. I kind of did start dissecting it because we had the conversation. But it skanks pretty hard. It's a pretty fun song. And I like how it goes between this sort of like party song atmosphere to this, fuck them pigs, like mentality. Like, it has that sort of vibe. It was a good song. And Adam, what do you got for us?
The What Nows from Pennsylvania just released a new album on March 24th called Neglected Objective. The What Nows are a very, very cool band. Let's listen to a little bit of their song, Let Them Eat Cake.
Please feed me more, less service. Convince me it'll be worth it. Soon after they'll desert us, and it's never gonna change. What seems to be the disservice? The lower class is burning. You're trampling on these serpents right to your name. Say you'll fight for our purpose. It looks great on the surface. What's happening behind curtains? Will you shoulder the blame?
What Nows are insanely good. Excited for this album. Andrew, one of the members in the band, is the guy who organizes Camp Punksylvania.
Right.
And he sent me the album as soon as it was out, and I took a listen to it, and I totally love it. So I'm excited. Everyone should go listen to that.
Now all I want is cake. But I already had cookies today, so no cake for me. all right. Next up, we have... Also out on March 22nd, Sorry Sweetheart released a new single called Sweatpants Are All That Fit Me Right Now. And this is a ska core song from Sorry Sweetheart, so let's check out part of Sweatpants. I love Sorry Sweetheart, and they've been releasing, I think I started listening to them right around when I started this podcast, just, you know, kind of ran across them on the social media. I think Instagram was where I first found them. And, yeah, they've got a great sound, a great ska core, screamo, emo sort of sound. And, yeah. We should, someone remind me, we should have them on the show, because I've plugged their music a lot. We should actually talk to them.
I did just discover them not too long ago through TikTok, and we are now mutual friends on TikTok. Woo-hoo! So there's a chance.
Yeah. All right. And so before we officially hop out of ska news, just want to tell you that, of course, we have a Patreon. That's right. Patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. And $4 a month gets you at least 2 bonus episodes, access to a private Facebook page, and discounts on merch. Everyone loves discounts on merch. And, of course, like I said, 2 bonus episodes at least. Most of the time, we're averaging like 3 or 4 a month. So we try to, you know, under-promise, over-deliver. That's our motto. And so check that out. We've got like, I think like 70 to 80 bonus episodes from the past like 2 years that, you know, you get right now for just $4 a month. So, yeah, check it out. Patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. All right, Tim, we have a lot to talk about because you have a lot going on. First up, yes. Let's start with recently you announced a festival, a Ningguid Records festival. What can you tell us about that?
Sure. So it's going to be over the course of 2 days, July 12th and July 13th. July 12th, we have Orange Tree from St. Louis, Rumluck from St. Louis, Mega Infinity, Coolidge. Night 2, we're going to have Secret Cajun Band, Boss Battle. We're going to probably talk a little bit more about the Boss Battle set in a second. Sergeant Skag and Courtesy of Tim. I brought Courtesy of Tim back. They did our holiday show, really worked with the audience well, and so we're bringing them back again. Yeah, so no, I said that we were going to talk about Boss Battle. So one of the exciting things about Boss Battle is that they are going to do an MED30 tribute set at the festival.
Awesome.
Oh man, now if I were correctly trying to replace RJ, I'd just be freaking out going, oh my god, I mean, 330 is my favorite band ever. Oh my god, we see the fest. No, that's super cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's gonna be great. We're looking forward to it. They're bringing in a few people. One of the people they're bringing in is a trombonist named April. She actually, if you look at if you've seen any of the photos from MG30's Christmas show or LP release show, and you're like, hey, I don't know why there's a person there playing trombone that's not Rob or Gary. That's April. They brought her in for a few songs play. So she's MED30 adjacent. So we're gonna have authenticity. And I don't know what else we have to try. Maybe we can get some, you know, former members of MU to do a song or two with them, but you know, it'll be a fun experience.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That'd be awesome.
Fun for some people to look forward to. Where's the show happening?
Show is happening at Blueberry Hill. It's a venue here in St. Louis. If you Google it, you probably will come up with many things, but the main thing is for the last 2-3 decades of his life, Chuck Berry had a monthly show there.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's cool. I know a lot of the bands are really excited about playing at Chuck Berry's house, basically.
That's awesome.
I thought that Blueberry Hill sounded familiar. I couldn't quite put my finger on what, so that makes sense. That's really neat.
Yeah. It's a great, great venue. You know, they've put on a lot of great ska shows over the years. Mustard Plug, the Toasters are playing in a few weeks. ME230 plays there a lot, you know, in between there, you know, the hiatuses. So yeah, it's a great ska friendly venue with a great ska friendly talent buyer, you know, so it just made sense to do this first festival there. And hopefully, you know, this festival does well and we'll just continue doing the festivals at this particular venue.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when it comes to putting together a festival like this, what is like the first step? Is it trying to get some bands to kind of sign on? Is it talking to a venue that you know can work with it? What's the first step?
It was, you know, it was both simultaneously for me. I can't speak to, you know, I can't speak to any other,
sure,
what anyone else does, right? But for me, it was soliciting bands while working with you know, the right talent buyer. And Bert, who's a talent buyer for this particular venue and a few other larger venues in St. Louis area, like I say, very scout friendly. So it was... It was overwhelming, the responses that I got. I and a few of the board, we listened to a lot of songs, and in the middle of all of this, you know, determining who we were going to bring, a few things were going on personally. So, you know, the first thing is, you know, I talked about it last time, my wife and I, you know, we had a lot of pregnancy losses. We're currently pregnant. Well, one of us is pregnant. It's not me. And you know, we're due next month. And so we were kind of in that peak, like, stress out period of, is everything going to be okay while this was happening? And then, you know, well, also on top of that, because that wasn't stressful enough, they, my daughter's school had a school shooting. Halloween trunk or treat at the school, and it was a dad who's currently getting divorced from his wife, who's also a police officer, decided that he was just going to intimidate a lot of the parents that were there, and then when he was asked to leave, thought it would be a really good idea to draw his weapon and start shooting shots in the air. And he was eventually tackled by a few of the dads that were there. But it was just, you know, it just, yeah, everything I put on hold and then taking care of my kid's mental health. Cause my kid's, you know, normally a happy go lucky kid. And she, you know, she goes to school she went to school that Monday. She comes back and the school resource officer, you know, talked to all the kids, and she's just in kindergarten. And she's like, "Dad, did you know that there are bad dads and bad police officers?" And I was like, "Yeah, kid, I've heard some things about that." Oh, and she's, man, just like, "Yeah, this is wild." And like, you know, one of the guy has two kids that go to her school, and one of the kids is a kindergartner, like right down the hall from her. Mm. And so, like, you know, we just forgot. Like, we would have actually been there, but we just forgot. But her teacher was there. You know, friends of mine were there. Just not a good experience. And then it kind of, you know, from a social standpoint, opened a few wounds, because the officer is the son of the prosecuting attorney who, you know, is believed mishandled the, you know, Mike Brown, Darren Wilson investigation.
Mm, yeah.
So that just in the area was just like, yeah, well, you know, these assholes just think that they can kind of do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So I will say that, you know, I kept all the bands like, hey, this is what's going on. And, you know, so many bands were just like, take your time.
Right.
This is wild. And yes. So, you know, between, you know, again, between the stress of, you know, the new baby and the getting things back in normal, it took an extra month or two, more than I was hoping for. But, you know, once I was ready to, you know, reevaluate this, I think, you know, I think we made some great choices. The one thing I will say was that the choices were, you know, they were great. They were fun. The communicating to all the bands that I couldn't bring on this for this first one, that was the only down part emotionally, because I made the decision that I was going to write every single band individually, and I was going to do it all in the same day, so that, you know, no one had to guess. And then by the end of that, when you're writing 40, hey, I'm sorry, you know, blah 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 emails, you know, my mental health that day was pretty much toast.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
wow. So this is kind of incredible that this festival is even happening. Cause I know if it were me, I'd be like, fuck this. I'm not planning anything. I'm focusing to that. But I can also see it is really, really something to look forward to. Right. Somewhat therapeutic to just go, you know what? I want to focus on these cool bands that I like all around, but, you know, especially like my local bands that I love and want to bring up in the scene. And like, let's get this moving together and like create this fun thing and just move forward. So I think that's awesome. And also, you know, congratulations on the pregnancy and getting the festival put together under this insane stress. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's wild. And I get what you're saying. I was actually just talking with Chris from SBI a couple of weeks ago, and there was never a point where this festival wasn't going to happen. And I just have this crazy, you know, work ethic. And I was talking to Chris, and he's like, hey, man, do you feel that you're going to be rusty, you know, when the festival happens? Because, you know, because I made it, you know, clear that I'm going to take some time to focus on the baby. And I'm like, well, I won't be too rusty because I'm having a small semi-private music festival here in my town. And it's going to have Boss Battle, Candyline, Electro Dinosaur, and Steve Ewing from The Urge he's going to be doing it two sets over the course of 2 hours. And he's like, oh, well, when's that? And I was like, oh, like 2.5 weeks after the baby is supposed to be here. So, wow. So, you know, it's that's just kind of how, and he just stared at me for like, you know, 45 seconds. And I realized, oh, well, this is kind of the first time we talk. And if you don't know me or my work ethic or, you know, how I just put so much energy and stuff, it probably does sound crazy, and I guess it is a little nuts, but it's just how I operate. So, you know, I will have, you know, the baby, then a neighborhood or a citywide music festival, and then the ska festival just a couple of months later.
Mm-hmm. So how do you balance all this stuff? You know, between personal life, day job, family, kids, responsibilities and stuff like that. Like, how do you, and running a label in the midst of, you know, trying to plan a festival, all things that require a good amount of attention. Do you have any processes that you, to sort of like keep things in balance to not overwhelm yourself?
I'm a big proponent of making sure that you have as much as you can scheduled out, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to dedicate this time to this, this time to that, this time to this. And on top of that, you know, I don't sleep a lot. Ever since I was in my, I would say late teens, early 20s, it's not uncommon for me to get 5 hours of sleep. Like, usually if I get more than, like, if I get like 6-7 hours of sleep, it's because I'm sick, right? So, and occasionally I will just, my body's like, you know what, you just need a nap, you need to take a nap and we'll make up. But for whatever reason, I don't get a lot of sleep, so I have a little bit extra time in the day. But it's still also about just finding that balance. If something is getting too large, knowing, hey, I need to take a step back, right? I need to, whether, you know, I need to listen to music, I need to go for a run, I need to make up some silly songs and sing them to my kid, see what, you know, how she feels. Spend time with the wife, pregnant women don't like it when you rub their bellies.
What? This is news. Yeah,
put my hand on her belly and you know, and show her love. Yeah. Same thing, the professional side, same thing with, you know, managing bands, right? Sometimes I just rub their bellies, you know? I'm like, come here, Jason Nelson, and I just rub his belly, and it's just the greatest thing.
He's a good boy.
but it's just about, you know, it's just about trusting my body, trusting my mind, and knowing, hey, I need to take a break, or hey, I need to shift to something else, move the schedule around, and that helps. That helps a lot. Like I said, the only real stressor was the whole situation of the just blocking 8 hours to write those those emails.
Yeah.
And just making sure I did take mental breaks every now and then. But find a schedule, try to stick with it the best you can, but make sure you give yourself breaks in case things get too overwhelming. That's my advice if you're going to do something as nuts as the day job concert promoter, running a record label, managing bands, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So being a family man.
So you must drink a lot of caffeine, right?
No, actually, I'm not a real big caffeine person.
This podcast is sponsored by Mountain Dew, so
yeah. I know. No, I generally is non-caffeinated drinks and just side tangent. When I was 38, I had a freak heart attack. I got in sick, got in pneumonia, and it caused an infection in my lungs, and that infection spread to my heart and triggered a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was in the best shape of my life, and I was like easily like walking, jogging, you know, on average 15 miles a day. And they couldn't figure out why I had a heart attack at first. And one of the questions they kept asking me was, you know, do you drink, you know, Coca-Cola, whatever, to drink too much energy drinks. And I was like, no, I don't drink, you know, caffeine. Like occasionally now, you know, I mean, back then it was a hardcore no caffeine, but now I might have, you know, a Red Bull or something if I just need to pick me up. But back then it was like, no caffeine. And then I'm like, okay, if we don't drink caffeine, how much cocaine do you do? And I was like, I don't do cocaine.
How much cocaine do you do?
Yeah. And they're like, well, you know, it doesn't make sense that a person that is as healthy as you are had a just sudden heart attack and that you're, you know, you're seemingly fine now. But like that first 24 hours, every like 45 minutes or 2 hours, someone like would come in, a doctor or nurse checking on me, and it would always end with the same question. Did you do any cocaine? And
since we were last in this room, did you do cocaine?
Yeah. It's like, well, let me. Oh, yeah, I've been hiding it under my pillow. Would you like some? And I hand him the cocaine. And I'm like, look, I will do like a drug test. Like I will do a drug test just so you guys stop fucking asking me this question, you know. And it took them. And it took them. Like I said, I think I went in on a Tuesday. By Friday, they had finally figured it out. Mm. But it was just really annoying dealing with that cocaine question, because it wasn't like they would switch back to like, are you sure you didn't drink any Coca-Cola? Like once they locked into cocaine, they were just going to get down to the bottom of that.
And shouldn't they have had blood work done on you anyway? Like they should have been able to test that like right away.
Don't hold me to this, but I don't think that they can, you know, autopsy, sure. But I don't think that they can, most states will allow you, a hospital, to do the drug test without.
Oh, so they could test other things, but not necessarily for. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get it. Okay, I guess that's technically probably how people get wrongly convicted for things. Might want to not break the law. All right. So anything coming up? You know, we talked about the festival coming up and all the work you've done to go into that. Anything, any new music coming soon from the label?
Well, actually, I just happen to have this right here in front of me. It's a 7-inch. Yeah, it's one of the three releases that we have coming out on the 29th. This 7-inch is by Nick and the Adversaries. It's Boss Sound System backed with this time. We're also going to have the Orange Tree Soft Pedal release. And they're a skate punk band, but it's no point. And you can't technically have ska punk without SKA. T-E. It's just those are extra letters. It's just like Scott. Just a little bit of bonus there with the skate punk. And so we're going to have Ningwood Records Day, and all three of these releases are going to come out on that day. We're going to have a little sneak peek of stuff, maybe some announcements for releases, maybe in some random orders I might just shove some tickets for a festival. Just want to say, hey, thank you for supporting the label, and also, you know, getting people to understand, you know, as I posted recently on social media, you know, normally if I get an order, I'm really good about 9 times out of 10 getting that order out the same day, and half my orders actually getting out to the post office within like 2 hours. And in mid-April, that's going to go out the fucking window, right? with the babies here. So I want to just show my appreciation and for all the support, because, you know, I can't do this without the great ska community, and the bands, obviously. And so, you know, you want to shoot the shit about some of these albums? You want to talk about what happened with Nick and how this came about?
Yeah, let's absolutely talk. Yeah.
All right. So this is, I think this is a funny story, but I've known Nick from Nick and the Adversaries, I guess 25 years, maybe a little bit longer. Basically, you know, I think a lot of people met him with the Pilfers, and I'm sorry, with Pilfers, not the with Pilfers. And
it's like Pixies, you gotta drop the P. Yeah, the not the P.
Yeah, and so he was actually one of the first members of Pilfers that I became friendly with, and so and because of him, I became friendly with Cooley and became friendly with Benny, and you know. With us being opposite or, you know, different parts of the country, you don't really get to see him, but I always thought that he was a solid, straight up dude. And I was excited to see that he started, you know, Nick and the Adversaries. So I guess last fall, I noticed that Nick and the Adversaries, they started following first my personal social media, and they started following the label's social media. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm glad they're, you know, they're really are starting to take social media serious. And yeah. I think, you know, that they are a band that I think would connect well with the audience. So it's like, if you look at their post around Thanksgiving and around, a little bit before Christmas, about a week or so before Christmas, they're teasing that they're doing a 7-inch. They're recording this for a 7-inch, and they're labeled to be announced. And I thought, man, any label would be lucky to have these guys, right? But I figured, you know, I'm not big enough to even, you know, make that approach. And then, like the week before Christmas, they were tagging labels, so they were tagging, you know, and on TikTok, they were tagging, you know, me, tagging Ska Punk International. They were tagging Bad Times. And it was, you know, and I'm like, oh man, yeah, that's great. I'm like, you know, I like one of those guys is really going to get a good 7-inch. So flash forward to Christmas morning. It's 7 a.m. Violet has already just, you know, ran through all of her toys. And I get an alert on my phone, and it says, Nick and the Adversaries, they've sent you a message on TikTok. I'm like, huh, that's weird. And so I open up the message in TikTok, and it's like, hey, man, are you looking to add any more bands to your roster? And my first thought was, oh, man, Nick's page got hacked. let me message him and let him know that his TikTok, because in my mind I was thinking, well, if he was wanting to talk business, he would reach out to my personal social media, because, you know, he and I have been, you know, on Facebook friends for like 15 years at least. So I sent him a screenshot. I'm like, hey man, I think your page got hacked. I think your TikTok account got hacked. Merry Christmas. And he's like, yeah, I didn't send that. Let me look around. He's like, I wonder if it's our drummer. We got this new drummer, and he's, you know, he's been the one that's been really pushing us into social media. And so he's like, hey, he's like, okay, yeah, and Merry Christmas to you. So a couple of, you know, a couple of hours later, you know, he messages me back and he's like, yeah, yeah, that was our drummer. You know, on behalf of the Nick and the Adversaries Incorporated, I apologize for him messaging you 7 a.m. on Christmas morning when you're probably with, you know, when you're with your kids. And I was like, no, no, it's good. Like, my main concern was I just legitimately thought you got hacked. And again, I explained that. Like, in my mind, you would message me. And I said, okay, well, now that we got that out the way, you know, it's Christmas. let's talk in a couple of days. But yeah, I'd be interested in, I'd be interested if you guys are, you know, interested in. And he was like, really? I was like, yeah. And so a couple of days later, you know, we're talking, and the first thing out of his mouth is like, man, I am so sorry that that our drummer messaged you on Christmas morning. I'm like, it's cool. I appreciate that, you know, he thought enough of the label,
right,
to even consider me. And so, you know, we had a good conversation, probably an hour and a half conversation on the telephone. Can you believe that?
Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, an hour and a half conversation on the telephone. I said, look, this is what I can do. This is what I can offer you. You know, let me know. And he's like, that's great. And then I had a conference call with, you know, him and Scott from the band. And Scott was like, hey, man, I'm sorry. Christmas, I don't have kids. Christmas was just another day to me. And like, it's all good.
Yeah.
And, you know, we discussed some more things, and it was interesting because there are two things I will never forget from the conversation. The first thing of that conversation was I told Nick, hey, this is what I'm doing for the festival. And I'm like, man, I'm wondering if people are going to be upset that I'm spreading it out, you know, that it's not going to, you know, it's not like 15 bands each day and, right, you know, and all this stuff. And I was really, you know, I was really concerned, like what was going to be the reaction. And Nick, and if you have never talked to him, he's one of the kindest people you will ever talk to. And he said, hey, man, you know, I was at the first Ska Supernova, like playing with the Pie Tasters. That was in their backyard. Mm-hmm. You are like, doing your first year of this festival is where it takes most other people 3 and 4 years to get to.
Yeah.
And that's a testament to the goodwill you've built in the community and the goodwill that you've built with the talent buyers, that they would just, that you could just say, I want to do a 2-day ska festival. And the talent buyer goes, okay, Tim, pick your 2 days. Right. And that kindness just really touched me. And then the other thing, and I hope that Nick is, I hope that Nick is okay with me sharing this story, but he goes, so I get what we get out of this. I don't understand what you get out of this. and I said, well, dude, I get a lot out of this. I get that it gets, one, it's more exposure for me. Two, it is another level of credibility that, oh, okay, you know, is, you know, I think everyone knows that the majority of what I put out in releases have been St. Louis, but that's, you know, that's partly due to the proximity, you know, but having another non-St. Louis band lets people know, okay, this guy is about, you know, music from all over. And having a band that has, you know, members of or former members of Pilfers, you know, Big D, the Queers, that's important to anyone. That moves the needle. So I'm getting as much, if not more, out of this than you do. Just, you know, going forward, don't ever wake me up at 7 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like he didn't get what he wanted for Christmas, so he was asking to get what he wanted for Christmas.
Well, you know, what's that saying? God helps those who help themselves. And
yeah, totally. Yeah.
And he, you know, he put in the work, and he got that record deal, right?
Must have been on his vision board.
So then, you know, our other releases, you know, again, we're going to go back to No Point, their self-titled album. And I met them at one of Warren Shoe's first shows back. And we had a shared experience with a merch person who will remain nameless for a very popular and well-known punk band. And I want to preface this by saying this nameless punk band, and every member was just kind as could be and pleasant to be around. And this merch guy, you know, the band had some trouble issues, and so they're late. And we had decided, hey, you know what? This venue has enough merch space in this merch area for four bands. We're going to give them half the merch area, and then we're going to just take, between the two of us, we're just going to take this other half. And, you know, and we're chatting, and they're, and, you know, and they're like, hey, what do you do? Because it's weird that you're kind of instructing Orange Tree and you're the merch guy. And I'm like, well, I have this label, I manage Orange Tree, so on and so forth. And then, again, it was a pleasant conversation. And, you know, Orange Tree is done playing, and this merch guy comes in, and he's like, you know, hey, we're blah, blah, blah. And we're like, okay, cool. You're like 4 hours late. And he's like, you know, we're about to set up merch. You guys need to, you know, you need to move your shit. And as I mentioned, we decided that we were going to do half. You know, we were just going to take up half the merch area. And what he was particularly talking about is that some of their merch was about an inch over on the other half of the merch table. And they start looking at me, and I'm like, he's talking to you. I ain't moving a damn thing. So if you guys want to move, you know, if you guys want to move your stuff an inch and it touches our stuff, that's fine. But I'm not moving a damn thing. And like from that moment on, like, it was just like, fuck this guy. We bonded over how much this guy like sucked. And it was, it was one of those moments where the next day I thought, well, maybe I overestimated what happened. Maybe some of this is just in my head, right? And so I see No Point because they're, you know, they were like, hey, you know, we're going to record this album. Could you come out to one of our practices? I'm like, yeah. And then Candylion, also on the label, had them for their album release party. And so I'm at the album release party, just confirming, like, hey, yeah, you know, we're going to meet up. And the first thing one of the guys from No Point says is, we're No Point. You got to move your shit. And I'm like, oh, okay. I did not imagine. It was just as bad as I remembered that. Right. That's and funny. So, yeah, it's eight tracks in true skate punk fashion. This album is less than 13 minutes. But
wow, yeah.
Yeah, true skate punk fashion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is a powerful 13 minutes. Yeah. And then that brings us to the Orange Tree self-titled album, the album that, due to so many technical issues, took almost a year to be pressed and released. But it is, you know, it's on a route here, should be here any day now. You know, their classic album where they really matured their sound, and you know, they went from, you know, if you listen to like Fixing Stupid, which is, you know, a great album, if you listen to that album, you can tell that it still has the fingerprints of it of when the band was first kind of starting out, and they had just, you know, they were just trying to figure out what this new world looks like with Jason Nelson, you know, as their singer. And then, you know, you flash a year later to the self-titled album, and it is an amazing 12 minutes, or sorry, 12 tracks, not 12 minutes, 12 tracks of albums that is just, you know, that's when you, you know, the whole the whole moniker of Orange Tree Arena Rock Ska, and just this different sound of ska that, you know, whenever new kids are discovering them, they're just like, I've never heard a ska band sound like this before, right? And so, you know, we, you know, we're all proud of that album, and we're all proud and happy that it's finally, you know, has finally been pressed and will be stateside, you know, shortly.
Was part of the issue getting the rights to?
No, I got those. No, it's just a lot of technical, I don't think sometimes people realize it can be very difficult to get a vinyl record press. And sometimes there are hiccups with the sound. Sometimes there are hiccups with artwork. Sometimes there's just delays. And in this case, we had every issue that you can imagine thrown at us with this. But it's, you know, it's done. It's here. The only thing that needs now is that we're going to get together and do liner notes for it. And so I think what we're going to probably do is, if we have the Fixing Stupid 12-inch, there was a message from Orange Tree talking about, you know, roughly, hey, you know, it's been 20 years, blah, blah, blah. And I think with this one, with the liner notes, we're going to kind of bridge that gap of what's happened since Fixing Stupid, right? There's been more shows. There's the label, you know, it's gotten bigger. So they have label mates, right? Because Fixing Stupid was the first release. Orange Tree is recording a new album. They're actually almost every other week they have a songwriting session at the Orange Tree practice space. So it'd be great to just bridge, like, let everyone know what's going on, and you know, there's been a lot of, you know, great shows. So, you know, we the Royal Re, of course, are excited about Ningwood Records Day. We're excited about these three releases, and you know, I'm just lucky, right? This is not necessarily something that everyone gets to do, but so many people want to do it, and I get to do it, right? Yeah. So I love it.
Ningwood Record Day is March 29th.
Correct. Yes.
So this coming Friday.
Yeah.
And all the albums that you just mentioned, they're going to be available for pre-order.
No, they're going to be like, This is the physical, nice. Boss Sound System came in last week, and I'm holding the actual physical record in my hand. So yeah, this wasn't just a prop. This is the actual record and the actual jacket for the album. So yeah, I'm expecting the FedEx shipment that is going to drive my FedEx guy completely bonkers tomorrow, because he is going to have to load in roughly 300 pounds of records to my door tomorrow.
Awesome.
I'll allow FedEx to deliver it to you, but the post office to ship it, that's always the way to go.
Well, see, here's the thing. I appreciate you, Scott Mailman, but I'm going to tell you a real story. This is I mailed out every member of Orange Tree who I knew what their address was. I mailed them a copy of the test presses a couple of weeks ago. And Jordan, Orange Tree's guitar player, I mailed him a copy, same as everyone else. And the post office received that package on the 17th of March. Now, I want to make this clear. Jordan lives 5 minutes from me. So it went from my local post office to the distribution center, which is fair. I understand that. To his post office. Back to the distribution center. And then it disappeared. Oh. It disappeared until, and again, this is the 17th that I dropped this off. It disappeared until yesterday, where it randomly showed up as being in Chicago. And which is
so not 5 minutes from now.
Not in the five minutes between Jordan and my house.
Maybe they're on crack.
And so last I saw late last night, it said that it shipped out of Chicago, but it's media mail, right? So it's going to be the ground version of this. So it probably won't get back to the St. Louis distribution office until tonight sometime, and then it will go to hopefully his local post office sometime tomorrow morning. He should have it Wednesday. But that's not even like the worst. When I first started the label was right when and Scott Mailman, I'm gonna understand if you don't say anything, but right, no, when Louis DeJoy,
I'm leaving.
Yeah, well, I just don't want you to get in trouble with your job, right? Right when Louis DeJoy took over, and it was before that anyone had realized there was something going on with the Postal Service, and so the first 20 batches of Fixing Stupid, the first record I put out, just disappeared for a month. And wow. And I'm like, well, this is a bad omen. I am screwed. And they started slowly but surely like getting to their rightful owners. But there was one that went to the St. Louis distribution, then Iowa, back to St. Louis, then to Memphis, back to St. Louis, South Carolina, back to St. Louis. Philadelphia, back to St. Louis, and I finally just had to, you know, open up a ticket. I'm like, look, man, I'm not trying to be a dick here, but I could have walked this record to this guy's house, and he would have had it. And I'll never forget what the customer service person said to me. Like, and it was one of those moments where it was so hard for me not to lose my cool. But the customer service person said, "Well, Mr. Snow, I need you to understand that since this is you use media mail, everything is going by ground." To which I said, well, one, that ignores the fact that everything that it keeps going out of St. Louis. And two, I want to make sure I understand this. You're saying that if I did not use media mail to send this record from the St. Louis area to the St. Louis area, that you guys would have loaded this on the plane. The plane would have lapped around the airport, landed, and then delivered delivered to his recipient. And my wife, I remember my wife like had walked in the middle of me like having this conversation, and then she just kind of looked around and walked out. Like, I don't even want to know what's going on here. Yeah. But and then finally the person had to realize that she didn't know that these two cities were in the St. Louis area, and I said, "Well, don't you think it would have helped if you knew that?" So I will say this: I live five blocks from a USPS distro center for our town, and six blocks from a retail store, and then 12 blocks from a UPS store. And when we bought this house a few years back, 3 years back, it wasn't necessarily, you know, I need to be this close to these
right
parcels, but it helped. It really helped. But I will say that there are certain customers of mine, like this guy named Lang, who buys every release, that lately he's, you know, because there's been so many issues with the last few releases that he purchased, that I just automatically just send whatever he wants GPS, just so I know it's going to actually be there in the next day. Because again, we're talking about moving, you know, mail from St. Louis to the St. Louis region. But generally everything else, we'll go by USPS.
Awesome.
And for the sake of my job, all I'll say is no comments on Louis DeJoy.
All right, join the Patreon episode where we shit more on Adam's job.
Yeah, and... I'll shit on it too. Let's listen up.
All right, before we head out of this week's podcast, of course, we have ska picks of the week. Tim, tell us about your ska pick.
My ska pick is Pilfers by, I'm sorry, Agua by Pilfers. I love that song whenever I am auditioning people to kind of jam with. That is the song that is on top of my list of like, hey, let's loosen up and play this song.
I embrace those early light with a view I never know. For it's the morning after, shades of crimson adorn the horizon. Seems like the cold front's come and gone. So I was glad when you came along. For you possess the right vibration. Oh, whoa, deeper, deeper. You want me swimming in all your love river. Oh, whoa, deeper, deeper. But now it's about to open for my pleasure.
I succumb to a gentle sleep. Follow Junior and
baby. Awesome. Excellent ska pick. And everyone, you know what? I completely forgot to pick a ska song for ska pick of the week and did not think about it until right now.
I'll pick one for you.
Okay, that's what we're going to do. Tim is going to pick my ska pick of the week. All right, Tim, let's hear it.
For the unprecedented double ska pick.
For the sake of self-promotion, I'm going to pick Orange Tree's album. Their self-titled album. I'm going to pick this song, Miserable.
All right, let's listen to Miserable.
I was not miserable listening to that song, and that is not a miserable pick, and I am glad I forgot to do my job this week. Yay!
Not as glad as I am.
Awesome. All right, Adam, tell us about your ska pick.
All right, so I had one of the parents at my kids' pickup at school recognize me, and like we've been talking a bunch, and he said, you ever heard of the band The Sheds? Said no, and so I checked out The Sheds and I absolutely fell in love with them. So this is Bad Things Are Bad by The Sheds.
I don't want to lead you astray. I've been dealt a healthy hand. Sometimes I see my world running down. We're just
That's ska core as hell. I love it.
That wasn't bad at all.
Awesome.
Nah.
Awesome. Excellent ska picks, everyone, except for me, who forgot to do their job.
It's fair, though, because when you think about it, as me being just one person, normally you have multiple people out, so they have multiple picks as an organization.
Yeah.
So it balances out with me being one person that I get two picks.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And that's what I intended when I accidentally forgot. That's why. All
was
right.
It the cookie made you forget.
Yeah, I was too too focused on the cookie. I thought it's just one of those things. I thought it was all done. Apparently it was not.
I mean, that is a California cookie, so we don't know what's in there.
That's true. Goodness is what's in there. All right. Thank you, listeners, for sticking around. Tim, of course, thank you for joining us this week.
Of course.
We appreciate it. And, of course, we do want to entice you to remember that we do have a Patreon. We get bonus chats with our guests. We are going to talk with Tim a little bit more for bonus chat. So go to patreon.com/ontheupbeatska and sign up today. That'd be great. And, of course, until next time,
keep listening to ska.
You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.